This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome to the second hour of Power Business with me, Noluthando Mthonthi Mlambo. We're together until 8 p.m. Today is, of course, Africa Day. And of course, we spend a lot of time in the first hour digesting our domestic issues. But now I think we'll take some time to look away to the rest of the continent to see where we could be in terms of Africa trade. Now, we know that the African Continental Free Trade Agreement aims to create an integrated continent-wide free trade zone. It involves 54 countries, 1.3 billion people. It's supposed to come on, increase our GDPs throughout the continent. It's supposed to create jobs. We speak very often about the wonderful potentials of this. And of course, it is supposed to be online right now. It has been enacted and all the steps have been taken for it to be materialized. What we are seeing throughout the continent is just slow implementation. But we decided also not to be too speculative about where South Africa could be and also the trends in exports and imports on the African continent that we could be seeing. And so we did call on the Export Credit Insurance Corporation of South Africa to really help us understand where we are in terms of African trade or intra-Africa trade. So joining me on the line is Njengezeni Mapula, who's the acting COO at the Export Credit Insurance Corporation of South Africa. Njengezeni, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Good evening to you, Alexandra, as well as the FM listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I must first ask you about the issue of a trade on the African continent. Since we started speaking about the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, have we seen an uptick?
So, you know, the agreement is quite an important development on the continent. Mm-hmm. And obviously its objectives are intended to boost intra-trade on the continent. So if you look at the trade currently, it remains low at 14.4%. However, with agreement being in place, it is forecasted, to boost trade to over 30%. Obviously, there's room for expansion as there are, regional economies that remain the building blocks on the continent. You've got ECOWAS, you've got, the East Africa, you've got COMESA, you've got SADC as well. So those are key regional economies. And obviously, the trade amongst them continues to be high. However, we also observe a different pattern in countries that are outside the blocks. Obviously, there are still other challenges on the continent. The tariff or the non-tariff barriers remain a big problem. And then there's all other challenges in terms of infrastructure backlog. If there are improvements on infrastructure, thinking about road, rail, transportation, as well as ports of entry, because those are key, avenues where goods, can be moved very easily. And by doing so, that facilitates trade. Obviously, there's also opportunity, to improve, some of our inefficiencies on the continent. Obviously, looking at technology, just to improve some of the ports, and customs. And I think this will go a long way. However, the other issue that I need to point out, is that even the fact that we've got this regional economy, I think they need to change the focus slightly and not prioritize the agreements that benefit their individual blocks of members, which can have a very slow in the face of integration. And also,
I must zone in a little bit on this issue of regional economic communities in Njengezeni, because, like you say, that the different regions find comfort in one another. It is predictable relations. It is relations that go way back. There's a very clear understanding of how things work. I'm wondering if the tight-knittedness of these regions, which is good for the regions, is also why we are battling to want to look to the rest of the continent for intra-Africa trade, because regionally we seem to be taking care of each other, and it seems like too much work or too many concessions would have to be made for us to then look outside of our region.
Yes, you're quite right. I mean, there has to be a lot of concern that needs to be made if you want to, promote intra-continental trade. And obviously, looking beyond, you know, those regional economies will be a very key point, because that opens, you know, new markets for goods and services, you know. And if that happens, obviously, you know, you get other areas on the continent also developing. However, I think what is very important, you know, is for the countries on the continent to realize that, you know, we need to work together to really make this agreement effective. I think if you look at other regional economies like the EU, you know, they started putting the, you know, the framework, you know, quite a way many years ago. Maybe started in the early 1900s. But I think over time they were able to really integrate the region. They ended up with a single currency. And obviously, these are some of the things that we need to be working through as a continent. And again, you know, working on standardizing, you know, our rules. You know, for example, if you are a trade operator, you know, obviously the standards across and the tariffs, you know, they need to be the same across, so that you can move goods, you know, without being worried that, oh, when I get to the custom point, maybe, you know, you have to pay more, you know. But if these things are managed properly, they can create a seamless trade, and they can really be ahead and increase the level of trade on the continent.
Jingzani, I must ask you about making intra-Africa trade safer and more efficient. What are some of the, you know, the things that we'd have to get right on the continent, considering the fact that we are trying to branch out into new territory with intra-Africa trade?
So, obviously, you know, there's a lot of challenges on the continent, but there's also willingness to resolve them. I mean, political instability, you know, is a big challenge, you know. You get pockets of countries where there's civil war, you know, and then that kind of volatility, sometimes it does create a lot of problems. Then you also have countries that are suffering from, you know, volatile local currencies. Mm. You know, I think these are some of the things that we need. I think for me, you know, if we were to really look at what is it that they need to improve, there's a lot of creating an investor-friendly environment is a key point. You know, obviously, you know, you want to invest where you know that your environment will be safe. And obviously, the other point that needs to be attended to is improving the infrastructure. Because if there's no infrastructure to transport goods, you know, obviously, you know, that creates a distance between the product and the market. So you want to invest, you want to, you know, manufacture goods that you can transport very easily without, you know, thinking about the high cost of transportation. Obviously, if the systems, the rail systems and the roads are very efficient, you know, those are key infrastructure that facilitates this.
And Jingzani, you know, you speak about infrastructure, and I'm wondering, when you speak to your clients, your customers, you know, even when you are in places where you might represent South Africa, what is the barrier to infrastructure? Are we battling to attract investment, or are we seeing investment that comes onto the continent that first looks at bread and butter issues and therefore, you know, wouldn't look at something like trade because, for instance, we're busy with electricity, we're busy with water. Why are we not developing the infrastructure that we know we need so much to ensure that we are able to trade with one another?
Yeah, I think a lot has happened. You know, obviously, COVID, you know, really impacted a lot of countries. And I mean, most of the expenditure that was supposed to go into infrastructure, you know, it was mostly utilized to deal with the pandemic. However, you know, we do see a lot of will and a lot of eagerness to improve, you know, some of these roads infrastructure. Obviously, if you want to attract investment, you know, the investor will be looking at the, you know, whether can I transport my goods in that country. What is the status of the roads, you know? What is the status of the ports in that country? You know, what is the state of the rail infrastructure in those countries? So these are the key drivers of economic development. So without, you know, good infrastructure, you will not attract investors, because nobody wants to go into a country where, you know, you can't move your food, you know. So it is very important. So I think for me, you know, you do get transformational projects that are linked to infrastructure development. And these are some of the key things that we need to look at in order to really make a huge inroad in boosting Africa. So obviously, you know, some of the things that we've been doing, for example, if you look at the same borders, you know, the big bridge, you know, it's a big trading point. There's a lot of goods that pass through that border. So we did, you know, support that project on the Zimbabwe side in order to improve the efficiency. And obviously, that has made a very big difference because, you know, there used to be a lot of backlogs. Trucks used to take about 3, 4, 5 days, sometimes weeks to clear the border. But recently, there's been a lot of efficiency. You're getting trucks moving in and out, you know, transporting goods, you know, in between South Africa and Zimbabwe. And some of the countries are also using that border as a gateway.
Before I let you go, Njengezeni, let's speak about South Africa here. Where are we? And, you know, what can we be doing better to ensure that we're readying ourselves for the opportunity that free or intercontinental trade would bring us?
Yeah. I think, as South Africa, you know, we've had a lot of advantages. And obviously, you know, over the years with the load shedding, you know, that is impacting, you know, a lot of businesses. And this is something that we definitely need to address and attend to. And if you look at our rail infrastructure, you know, a lot of it was damaged, you know, over the years through vandalism. And that's not doing our country very good. Because you see a lot of trucks on the roads now, you know, that are transporting goods, you know, to ports. And some of them, they're creating huge backlogs. I mean, our roads, they're not meant to carry such loads of volume. So you do need a lot of goods being transported through the rail because that is more efficient. But, you know, nowadays it's becoming a big challenge. So I think these are some of the things that we definitely need to look at. And the government needs to really focus on, you know, ensuring that, you know, that infrastructure is fixed, you know, and there's also an issue about safety. You know, we've had to report, you know, in some cases with people are just stealing from moving trains, which is not right, you know. So safety is a big thing that also needs to be looked at.
James, and before I let you go, we do have two callers who'd like to weigh in. Vusi from Winterfeld, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for this lovely topic. I just learned also as to be able to put on in the forefront the issue of why don't we talk about the local investment, especially in light that through the DTIC, we've got what you call master plans, which are transformative in nature of different industries. And then also right now in the Gauteng province, we've got what you call the township economy. It's a bill now, which needs to be able to develop our black SMEs in our township and rural areas and fund them. So I would like maybe on power on this program to bring up about, you know, the DTIC, the Gauteng province, and also the funders, you know, the big banks, on how we can be able to collaborate to make sure that we garner resources and funding to develop our own environment here locally, not only talking about this African regional market, and but can we just focus here? Because right now, there's been a blame on COVID and, you know, other issues, but we've neglected the issue of how can we develop our own local economies and develop our own local entrepreneurs to be the ones to be those who will be leading our economy in our local environment.
Thank you for that suggestion, Vusi. We are listening. I'm listening. The producers are listening. And I think we'll make sure that we bring that online for you. Thank you for your inputs. Paul from Kyalami would also like to weigh in. Paul, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Hi, non-attendant guest. Thank you very much for the topic. I think my question is with regards to... So I have three elements of my question, right? The first one is, what is the African Union doing with regards to ensuring that at least our infrastructure is adequate enough for us to trade? I would think you'd at least put some sort of funds and, you know, to ensure that we are able to trade and not rely on the West and other European countries. So that's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But then my second one is, what are we doing with regards to our policies within respective countries? So for an example, I'll be talking now from an FMCG perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm now supposed to export milk to the likes of Botswana, for my milk to go into Botswana, you would be charged 40% extra, right, for it just to go into Botswana. So obviously now that me, I understand that they're trying to protect local farmers and etc. But isn't that contradicting what we are trying to do with this whole free trade agreement? So that's my second point. Then my third point is in terms of, I think we need to build technologies that will enable us to be able to source things from the likes of Congo. If I want beans from Rwanda, if I want tea from Kenya, I should be able to source them from those respective countries using apps and whatnot. And that would obviously ensure that the local farmers, from an economies of scale perspective, they're not just now looking at their respective countries, but they're looking at countries within the region or outside. So I think also from a business perspective, if I'm now to build a factory in South Africa, right, and I see that, okay, maybe the South African market is not making use of my product, I'm now able to co-pack for individuals that are in the other countries. For that to happen, we also need to have laws that are gonna enable us to trade and also have the infrastructure within the ports.
I'm going to ask Njengezeni to weigh in where he can. And then, Paul, I do assure you that next week, Wednesday, we'll have a bigger panel to unpack the issue of intra-Africa trade. And maybe you can, we'll reach out to you, actually, for you to pose all some right. of those questions to that. We'll do that. But Njengezeni, for this evening, would you like to weigh in on the comments from Ovusi and Paul?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think the gentleman that just spoke now has raised a number of very interesting points. Obviously, the African Union, it's a union, of many countries, on the continent. Most of the countries, they're part of that. And in terms of building infrastructure, obviously, that is not the African Union's obligation. This is done at a country level. Obviously, you're quite right. The countries need to really develop their infrastructure. They need to make huge investment in terms of improving infrastructure as well as efficiency. Obviously, their policies need to be right. They need to be attractive, to investors. They need to make the ease of doing business, very easy in each of these countries. And again, there's also an opportunity to utilize technology. Technology is a very good thing. It does save costs and it's a nice investment for us. For example, I was talking about the Bay Bridge border post, where, to clear the border, that process used to be done manually. But now if you've got a tech, you can pass and then you go to the other side, then the customs officials check, the truck, the loads very quickly, you are cleared. In some cases, they use the tech for the payment, they don't handle cash anymore. And that also reduces leakages and out of money. So it's quite right. There is space for technology. And I think, the sooner, we look at some of the policies, that really stimulate development, they need to be harmonized. I mean, he was talking about, exporting milk, to Botswana. And obviously there are tariffs, customs, charges, which are quite high. So we need to find a common way of determining the range, or the range within which those customs, could be charged. And like I said before, the tariffs are still a big barrier on the continent. So the sooner we get to have a nice position, the better, And that will enable trade to go smoothly, because you'll know that, if you want to move your product from one country to the other, the costs will be very clear, very manageable. But at the moment, because of the inconsistencies in how countries, charge tariffs, you always have this pile of the huge cost that, to factor to account, which becomes a barrier to trade.
Did Jezani, I must then ask you, you know, in countries, for instance, something like customs, those are revenues that, for instance, in our case, SARS would collect. It makes part of the fiscus. It's an important aspect of how we collect revenues to be able to run our country. I'm concerned about our, you know, governments not being able to let go, for instance, of some of those or make those concessions, because that is direct income, you know, that comes through tax authorities. And now you're saying that to trade with another country, maybe we must decrease that, scrap it, so that, you know, revenues can flow through other ways. And, you know, it could be through, you know, SMMEs and companies doing well and then being able to tax them and so on. And these national interests, you know, these national interests for governments when they've been elected by their people, do they not then end up outweighing also the intercontinental or intracontinental goals that we have?
Yeah, look, there have to be overriding objectives, you know, because, I mean, if you are able to move goods from one country to the other, obviously it's a market, you know. You are able to trade, you are able to increase, you know, your demands, you know. And for me, I understand the point that you're saying, that there is a national interest because you want that revenue. Mm. But, you know, there must also be the bigger picture, you know. Mm. Mm. Because if you increase trade, there are also other spin-offs, you know, in that sense. So I don't think, you know, countries need to be protective and say, look, this is our space, this is our challenge. You know, we need to protect them because the revenues that we use to support, you know, other activities. But, you know, trade is very important because it also builds, you know, entrepreneurs within the countries that can have multiplier effect as well. So there are other things. If you get more goods being moved across the country, obviously those goods are being consumed inside the country. Mm-hmm. So which means somebody is paying for it, you know. There's VAT that gets paid on that. So mm-hmm. that could be another source of income as a spin-off, you know. So there have to be trade-offs, you know, between these things. But you have to look at the big objective. Is it the objective to raise revenue through customs, or is mm-hmm. the objective to allow goods, you know, to be traded so that you can also get other, you know, revenue that come out of that process? These are all the factors that need to be taken into account.
Well, Jason, I'd like to thank you for your time this evening, and I hope we can keep having this conversation, because you're right, trade-offs need to be made. And I'm afraid, though, for me, in my mind, that's what is stopping for us from realizing this dream of intra-Africa trade. It's the inability to make the trade-offs. Thank you for your time this evening.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That is Njengezeni Mapula, who's the acting CEO at the Export Credit Insurance Corporation of South Africa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.